Excellent. Good. All right, we are on a very tight time schedule, which always makes me extremely nervous. And so, for the official counter, I'll let you know when my time starts. Because we're going to cover some material here. We're going to look at Acts 6, but if you'll turn to Ephesians 4, let's set this up in this way. I just want to give this morning, I want to give a very brief anchoring to what we're doing here. And so I think it's important that we open to both of those places. And I think it's important, too, that I let you in on some conversations that happen every time the leaders of their church get together. For the last almost 4 years, as we've gathered together, oftentimes weekly, for long periods of time, we've gathered on every Thursday night, we are talking about a vision for our church. A vision that would have at its very center a gospel culture in the midst of it, where the preaching of God's word is valued not only from the pastor, but by the congregation. That's big. I mean, we're dreaming about a place where the congregation is as deeply convicted about what a pastor's job is as a pastor is. That's part of our vision. We long for a place where we're being challenged not only to share the gospel more freely, but to live out the relational consequences of Christ's radical grace. In other words, we're longing for a culture of discipleship in our midst, where husbands are equipped to disciple their wives and their children, where older men and women are confident to mentor younger Christians, where singles are often brought in and adopted into families, where they learn to serve along others and they see for themselves what flawed marriages look like under the realm of the gospel and God's grace. Where biblical counseling takes place among the members, not just in pastors' offices. A culture where we learn not to demand that our preferences be satisfied at every turn. Where we're shown what it means by one another to pick up our cross daily and trust God for the details of sacrificial living and giving and loving. That's what we talk about. That's what we want. That's what we believe the Bible's speaking of. So that's what we would want for Grace Church. Now, we've struggled at times to know how do we do that, but we did know the starting place. And the starting place is we have to get the Word in its place of priority. So today we're recognizing that this vision is exactly what God is doing. There are more people getting together, showing hospitality joyfully than I can keep up with. There are more people meeting in coffee shops, and I find out about it. I get a picture from someone, comes across and my phone at 7 a.m. in the morning, seeing a bunch of guys praying at Starbucks. And that just lights my heart up. That's exactly what God is doing. God, in His infinite grace, is doing the things that we find in Scripture, and all we have done to bring it about is simply to trust God that there is a priority on His Word. Don't use gimmicks, not a lot of fanfare, just give people the word. God says where His word is proclaimed, He is present. And where His presence is, we absolutely believe this from our study of the Bible, where God is really present, lives change. I mean, I just can't find a single instance where God fills a life and that person doesn't even know it. We're convinced of these things. And that ministry that comes out of this place comes chiefly because God's word is powerful, and it does what God says it will do. So today we come together, we're recognizing that God is in our midst, that He's doing things, that He's strengthening marriages, that He's calling people out of their comfort zones. He's doing it, and we rejoice in that. So today we recognize those areas of growth. And I think the only reasonable response to that is to be joyfully grateful. We have been busy serving each other in various ways. And as we have, as I said before, God has been just faithfully building up a people who are eager to care for each other in very practical and observable acts of sacrificial love. That's what he's doing. And so we hope that adding some organization, which we have known for a long time is lacking, but we're hoping that adding some organization is simply going to increase our effectiveness. It's not going to take away anything. It's just simply going to add to our ability to show care and concern and help to shepherd one another in a really biblical way. So God has provided men to lead. God has provided and grown up people who are eager to serve one another, and providing more organization is simply going to let opportunities be better known among the congregation of what areas of ministry we feel like there's holes, so that plugging those holes, we're actually caring for one another in a greater way. All of that coming right out of the ministry of the Word. Ephesians 4 tells us that Jesus, when he ascended to the right hand of the Father, had a plan in mind for his people, a plan for their future care and their growth. In Ephesians 4, chapter 11 through 16 is a passage that we have referred to many, many times. Let me just hit the highlights and you can go back and read it for yourself. But the highlights are simply this, that when Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father, he gave gifts to his people. And those gifts were people who were gifted with the ability to communicate his word. Not people who could communicate their ideas, people who would communicate his word. And so this ministry of his word finds a priority among the people of God. And it had a purpose. It had a very specific purpose and goal in mind. The purpose was that through the word, through hearing it, through it shaping us, that believers would be not only shaped but also equipped for the various works of ministry that would ensure their continued health. And so the Lord Jesus had a plan. He's going to give gifts, people, for the congregations so that the word, the ministry of the word becomes a priority, so that as the word is proclaimed, the word shapes us and equips us so that we then, and following the powerful shaping of the word, we get involved in ministry, and as we get involved in ministry together, we're actually being part of the health of each other's growth. That's the plan of Jesus. Pretty simple plan. So, there's not a lot of need for a whole lot of gimmicks. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is particularly clear on this. You know, put aside, Paul says, we've put aside all these gimmicks and playing games with God's word. We're just going to lay it out and we're going to trust God to make people grow through it. It's pretty simple. But it takes a lot of faith in our day to believe that God will actually do what he said he would do. But God is doing it. And so, the goal, according to verse 12 in Ephesians 4, is that the goal is that the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word will equip the saints for the work of ministry, and in doing so, it will build up the body of Christ. Simply, the health and life of the church is dependent upon the ministry of the word being effective in the lives of the saints, and in verse 16, and when that happens, each part, that is, each person within the body, they begin to work properly, and as they do, the whole body grows so it builds itself up in love. So the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word has a shaping influence upon the congregation, and it has an effect upon them that brings them into ministry and relationship in such a way that the entire body is built up and made healthy. That's Jesus' plan. There isn't a plan B. I don't know of one, if there is one. I keep reading this thing, thinking, well, maybe there's a plan B. There's not a plan B. There's just a plan A. It's the only one he's got. And its call for a congregation is, the question for us is, do we really believe that the simple proclamation of God's word is enough to equip us as a body so that ministry begins to flourish, new ministries begin to develop, and the body is made healthy by that activity? That's the question for us. As far as your leaders are concerned, we're absolutely convinced that that's exactly what the New Testament teaches. And that's what we're doing. And we rejoice in what God has done among us. So the goal of every Bible study and church service is the same. It is the proclamation of the Word of God for the purpose of shaping and equipping the church to build itself up through various ministries. That's Jesus' plan for the church, to care for itself, to disciple itself, and to reach this generation. There isn't another. But there was a time early on in the history of the church where that was very greatly threatened, where the priority of the Word of God, that is Jesus' plan for the building up of the body and the reaching of that generation, where it was in a place of insecurity, where there was a time in the history of the church where that emphasis and that priority of the Word was in danger of being replaced by something extremely important. We read about it in Acts chapter 6. So here's Acts 6. We're going to read 1 through 7. And then I've got three practical principles that we find in this particular passage. Acts chapter 6, the very earliest years of the Christian church. And it says this: "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12, that is the apostles, summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." Father, I pray that you'd bless the reading, the preaching of your word. I pray that you bless this service and this church. Just continue to bless this church in amazing ways as we learn what it means to live amazed at your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, three simple principles that I think is important for everything else we're doing here. Three simple principles. The first one, like it or not, organization or lack of it is how we communicate care. A couple of years ago, we started talking about organization and the need for greater organization. And because I'm not a gifted organizer, that causes me great stress. I really like the things that I can do versus the things that are necessary that I'm not good at. And so as I began talking to other people about our need to get further organized, someone mentioned to me, and I think in a very honest thing, an honest response, and it took me a while to have an answer for it, but the truth of the matter is, in our conversation, the response was that no one ever got to heaven because of organization. And I had to stop and think, well, it's probably true. But Acts 6 says, that's not exactly true. There's actually a lot of people that went to heaven because there was a church that was organized. And I think that's important for us to realize. Organization, or the lack of it, is how a church communicates care. A problem arose early in the Jewish, or in the Christian church. The Jewish Christians The Gentile Christians, or rather, let me say it differently, the Jewish, within the Jewish Christians, you had two camps. You had one group that are called the Grecian Jews. They're Hellenists in some Bibles, and the Hebraic Jews, who are Hebrew. Now, the Grecian Jews were those who settled from outside of Palestine and came into Palestine. They spoke Greek, and they lived their life around the Greek culture. On the other side, the Hebraic Jews lived in Palestine already, spoke Aramaic, and lived according to a very strict Jewish culture. Now, if you remember the book of Acts, you remember that there was a famine in the land and a great difficulty for all of the early Christians. And you'll remember in chapter 4, money had been given to the apostles in order to care for the poorest saints among them. It was assumed that they would distribute the money equally among the needy. All right? But now we read in chapter 6, a complaint arose by the Grecian Jews that their widows were being neglected in the distribution of food, meaning these were very poor widows. And as the poor widows gathered, there was a bit of a discrepancy between how those groups of widows were being taken care of. Now, this is important. This text does not imply that the oversight was deliberate by the apostles. This is not a kind of racism that's going on here. Instead, it suggests that it was a matter of improper supervision and organization. It wasn't as if the apostles were being racist and they were taking care of the Hebrew widows first instead of the Hellenist widows. That's not what was happening. They just simply became so frazzled by all the details that were necessary that they weren't able to manage both groups equitably. And then in those days, a complaint arose, and the complaint was pretty significant. I want to be very clear about this. This was an issue of proper and equitable care to the community. It was not a lack of concern. The apostles had equal concern for both sets of people, but they were not able to use their resources in a way that gave care equitably to those two groups. And so what we find in this passage is that it certainly was their lack of supervision and organization which did not allow them to communicate the concern of their heart in a way that was effective, timely, and consistent. It really was an organizational problem. It wasn't that they had no desire. It was simply they were not organized enough to extend care, the care from their hearts, and communicate it effective, timely, and consistent. On the flip side of that, their lack of organization actually brought charges against them of being racist and showing bigotry. Now that is a long ways away from each other. Their desire was to show care and brotherly concern and brotherly love. But what they ended up communicating was that you don't care about certain groups. I want you to see how far apart that is, and I want you to see that that happened by the apostles. The apostles were responsible for this. Now, during your time at Grace, each of you have either observed or received or participated in our attempts to extend care and brotherly kindness. Church, at times, there is no one on the earth that shows brotherly love and care and concern better than this group of people. And then there's other times when we have just simply fumbled. And it is embarrassing when the fumble happens. And the lack of organization that's necessary in order to extend care effectively, timely, and consistently, that lack of organization opens us up to serving one group of people very, very well and the next group of people not at all. And that never is a good thing inside a community of faith. A ministry fair today reflects this chief concern. We want to be able to extend the care that's in our hearts in a way that's effective and timely and consistent. We don't want one person to fall through the cracks and the other person's need to be out in front so that everybody sees it. One moment, everyone's communicated well and everyone responds well, and the next time that something happens, it's completely up to my schedule or my paying attention or one person or maybe two people that just simply dropped the ball and nobody knew, and our ability to extend care, our desire to extend care, was actually looked like uncare. The difference, to a large degree, when you have people's hearts right, the only difference is the organization or the lack thereof. The apostles wanted to show care and concern for the people. They simply lacked the structure to do that well and do it consistently. That's the problem. All right? That's the problem. Secondly, the solution. Here's the second principle. Serving others is spiritual work. Or you can say it negatively. Serving widows is not unspiritual work. It's not unspiritual work. The practical ministries of service were not beneath the apostles. It was them. They were the ones doing it. They were the ones that were distributing the money. On top of the priority of the Word of God in prayer, they were also trying to find time to take care of all these widows. They were doing it. So it was spiritual work from the very beginning, if you see the apostles as being spiritual men. But then when you look at what they asked for, they simply asked them to go find men who were spiritual men. So this is spiritual work. What the passage teaches us is not that serving is secondary in importance. It doesn't teach us that, just the opposite. It actually teaches us that this kind of service and care to people is as important as the preaching of the word. Just one group of people couldn't do both. And so instead of trying to do both, the apostles said, let's get some other people to make the care for people their priority so that we can maintain our priority. And so the apostles in verse 4, they called together the whole congregation in order to choose 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom they appointed to this duty. But, that says, we will appoint ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. What's going on here in this story is simply two priorities. They simply need a group of people that will make caring for one another a priority. And on the other hand, so that they can use their resources and time in order to make their priority the preaching of the word and prayer. After all, Ephesians 4 says that's the way the church is going to grow. And if they at this moment in time, if they set aside the preaching of the word in order to care for the needs of widows, do you understand just what a tricky and slippery slope they were on? Instead, in the wisdom of God, they appointed 7 men. 7 men that later on in the New Testament, I think, they are called deacons. Deacons comes from the Greek word diakona. It is a group of deacons is called a diaconate. And what they do is called diaconal work. They are deacons. You speak of the deacons as a diaconate. You can speak of the work they do as diaconal work. They are doing the work of serving and ministry. That's the word. Ministry. Servant. That's what the word means. It's used over 30 times this way in the New Testament. Now, the qualifications for elders and deacons are given to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3. These are to be men of character and deep conviction. They are called to a work that is spiritual because they are spiritual men. It says, find those men who are spiritual men. So they are charged with doing the spiritual work of giving physical care. I think that's important. They are charged with making a priority the spiritual work of giving physical care. Deacons then, you see how this all works together. Deacons then serve to care for the physical needs of the church, and they do so in a way that heals divisions, brings unity under the word, and supports the leadership of the elders. Without this practical service of the deacons, the elders will not be free to devote themselves to praying and serving the word to people. Elders need deacons to serve practically, and deacons need elders to lead spiritually. They work together. These men were appointed deliberately so that the apostles were not forced to choose between investing in people or investing in the ministry of the word and prayer. In order to do them both, and to do them both well, they simply need an organization and supervision. Thus, deacons. Third principle has to do with structure. Structure is necessary for congregational health. Now, if you've been around here very long, you'll know that we use the metaphors of the trellis and the vine quite often. Trellis and the vine represent our philosophy of ministry. The trellis is all the infrastructure and organization that's necessary, and the vine is the actual spiritual growth that's taking place in our congregation. And the great question that we ask ourselves constantly is, how much trellis do you need? And the answer is always the same, enough to hold up the vine. How much spiritual growth is there? Well, then we have to design the trellis in order to hold up the real growth. So we use that metaphor. I think it's helpful. There was a tremendous book written several years ago by Tony Payne and Colin Marshall that spell out that philosophy of ministry. We have used that book. We've communicated those truths. And we're committed to growing the church that way. We think it's just an exposition of Ephesians chapter 4, trying to prepare the church to equip the church to do ministry. But there's another sense in which all trellis work is actually vine work if it's done right. That anytime you're with people, you have an opportunity to actually invest in them through the Word and through the Spirit. And you're doing work together in every relationship. So there's not really an area of life that I can imagine in the local church that isn't some form of vine work, regardless of whether we call it trellis work or not. When you're involved in people, you're encouraging. You're pouring out what you've received from the gospel. It's all vine work in that respect. This is a matter of developing a trellis. Structure is necessary for congregational health. That's the principle. The result of this organizational change in the first church was that the word of God continued to increase and the number of disciples multiplied. Verse 7. Hear that again. The result of an organizational change was that the word of God continued to increase and the number of disciples multiplied. Has anyone ever gone to heaven because a church got organized? Yes. Yes. Have many, 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 and this is what keeps me up at night, have many, many, many people been really hurt by churches that meant no harm to them whatsoever because they weren't organized? The answer is as absolutely, regrettably, yes. The ministry fair is designed to help us fill holes. Fill these holes. When we first did this at the end of last year, when we first looked at separating these areas out, these leaders took 31 areas of ministry that happen around here every month away from Pastor Matt and I. 31 things that we do that have to do with serving and care, and tried to develop these areas so that you can plug these holes, so that we could get over here and start doing some discipleship things that really need to be done. So these guys came in, they took 31 areas, and they've already developed several more because someone else has got it as a priority. And this is going to lead to the greater health of the church. I want you to notice verse 7, something interesting here. There's some clear implications. First, the division of labor resulted in increased growth, because it could. And secondly, it appears, or it implies, that the church's need soon outgrew the abilities of the seven men who were appointed as deacons, so that the deacons were no longer doing all the work, they were simply overseeing it. I mean, there's no way you can add more to that and expect those guys to be able to take care of it. This is just implies that as the church continued to grow, these deacons just continued to get more people to help them do the work. This is a beautiful picture of what the church is to look like. The deacons didn't do all the work. They simply helped to organize and equip the congregation to do the spiritual work of serving one another. So God has given these two offices to the church: elders who preach and teach the word and equip the saints to serve, and deacons who facilitate service as a spiritual work for their growth. A deacon seeks to facilitate service for the purpose of spiritual growth. Elders seek spiritual growth for the purpose of their service. They work together. They work together. Or it could be said like this: elders lead ministry, deacons facilitate ministry, and the congregation does ministry. Elders lead it, deacons facilitate it, congregations do it. Some of you know that 4 years ago we elected a group of men with character and convictions to form a leadership team here at Grace that we had from the very beginning, the ideas of separating to elders and deacons when we could do that. I think it's a vital step towards our goal we are introducing you this morning to many of the opportunities for you to serve one another and serve outside of one another into our community through these areas of ministry that will be overseen by deacons. Now, 5 of the leadership team are going to present these areas. Those guys within this year will either become deacons, and we'll have to add some more deacons to those areas, or some of them perhaps will become elders, but this is the year we make that separation, and this is really a big part of doing that. So this morning, here's what's going to happen. You're going to hear from each of these men. You're going to hear some areas that they have concerns about, some areas that they have oversight to, some areas that they have taken ownership of to develop for the good of our church and the health of our church and the glory of Christ. You're going to hear from them of the areas, and you can see them on this sheet. So this sheet is going to highlight for us everything that these guys are going to share with us this morning. So have these sheets in front of you. These are yours to take notes on. As they're talking, simply make some notations on here about whether you're interested in talking to them about that or the next thing. Then at the end of our service here, we're going to go down this hallway where these guys are going to be at tables, and there's a sign-up form for you to sign up after you talk to them under their areas. Then they will organize you, and they will call upon you when there's needs. They simply want a group of people who say, I can help in that area. I can do that. And I wouldn't mind you calling me. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for people to help, come alongside, and do the work of ministry together. So you're going to hear from each of them. You're going to make notations on your sheet. One of the boxes that you can check is, I can serve in that area. Another area, hey, I might talk to them about organizing. I can help with organization in that area. Both of them are needed. There's an area for you to take notes and just make notes to yourself. How is God leading you to become part of the care of this church? We've also indicated by colors how much time each month we expect you to be involved. I think that's helpful because we don't want to take your time. We want to be careful with your time. And then following each of us sharing briefly, they'll be down the hallway. We'll be at tables where you can talk to these guys about the areas and see how God can use you to help fill these holes in our church. What's at stake? Well, if we don't do this well, if we don't find ways to organize the people to do ministry, we'll continue to do care poorly. And I don't think anyone here wants to do care poorly. I don't think anyone here is okay with us doing care sometimes really well and sometimes horribly. If you never did it well, it wouldn't be near the problem of doing it well sometimes. If you never did it well, then when someone didn't get the kind of care they thought maybe their local church would give to them, they don't think that much of it. But if they know some people receive it, and they didn't receive it, do you understand what that means to them? It means they don't care about me. Do you see how personal that becomes? As a pastor, I know that at times we have fumbled. And I know at times it's been completely because of me. And I do not sleep well at night because of it. This is simply an opportunity for us to say, this really cannot all come onto my desk or it's going to be done really bad. It has to be us doing the work of one another, loving one another, holding each other accountable, doing the hard work of sacrificial love, coming alongside. And that's what you're going to hear about this morning. So, let's see. Last thing. I think the last couple of thoughts. Church, what we've been trying to do as a leadership is be very intentional. We want to do what we do on purpose. Not just because someone heard about it, not just because someone read a book about it. We want to do it because it makes sense to us in light of Scripture, in the light of what we already know that God wants us to do. Chiefly, God wants us to be a church. That's what He wants. And we wholeheartedly believe that. We wholeheartedly believe that. God wants us to be His people, a church, a network of relationships, living life together, encouraging each other, speaking the word together. That's what He wants. That's the goal. That's what it looks like when it's all done, is the paragraph I read to you at the beginning. A whole bunch of lives mixing together because of the gospel and for the glory of Christ. Elders lead ministry. Deacons facilitate it. Congregations do it. That's the whole point of this morning. We're trying to get organized. All right. I have just a couple of things on the discipleship side, and then we're going to hear from these guys. Okay? We're looking for Sunday school teachers for next fall already. But more importantly, I think we're looking for people to serve this quarter, this summer. We're looking for people who will serve for the summer to give those people who are serving a break. So we're not looking for all the classes. We're looking specifically for the little kids, just the little ones. Pastor Matt's going to take all the kids and do something totally different this quarter, this coming up this summer, where all the adults can meet together and the Sunday school teachers can have a break. But that's what we're looking for. We're looking for some people who will work with the toddlers and the infants for the summer. And then we're looking also for people who will be willing to look into helping in a classroom or teaching that. Linda will be at that table down the hallway. And so if you're willing to serve in the area of Sunday school, please look her up. And then Pastor Matt and the rest of the crew that went to Together for the Gospel stayed the night in Minneapolis last night, so I alone escaped. And they won't be here until later on. But for his side, small group ministries will also be represented at Linda's table. We absolutely believe that the best way for us to grow together as a community is to be part of that small group ministry, to live life together in a small group of people who begin to know you, and you begin to know them, and you hold each other accountable for our growth. It's a time of encouraging and exhorting and knowing and loving and serving. So if you're not part of a small group ministry, simply put your name down on that sheet. Pastor Matt will get a hold of you and put you in one of these ministries that's already functioning. That's what that is all about. So we have Sunday school, and we have small groups from the pastors, and now you're going to hear for each of these leaders as they share some of the things that's available for service. So who's up first? Who we got? Greg, you're up.
Bring some of these forms forward, so if you did not get one, or if you need a pen, he has both, so just raise your hand if you need one of those. Okay. Well, good morning, and again, welcome to the Grace Ministry Fair. My name is Greg Bork, and first of all, I want to thank all of you for serving in all the areas you already do, and I want to offer up some additional opportunities this morning. The areas that I'm involved with are generally revolve all around the Sunday morning worship service. So there's many involved. So as you become part of one of these that serve, you would be called probably only once every 6 or 8 weeks in general. So the first area is the playground supervision, usually handled by either a couple or a few singles that watch our youngsters out in the playground. The second area is down in the nursery, and in that you become part of a team of three, and I think that's been just a great great service here at Grace. It's really been working well. And Katrina Cato has been heading those areas up. Thank you to her. And she will be in the back with me to answer any questions, sign you up, so forth. So she does all the scheduling and training and takes care of that part of it. Next area is ushers. We always need a few ushers, so that might be something you're interested in helping with. Greeters, everybody attending here is eligible to be a greeter, and even if you're new, it really gives you a good opportunity to meet people that you may not otherwise meet for weeks or even months. The bookstore, we've been talking about trying to develop that into a little more visible, usable operation, and Emily Freeman works with that now, but I'd like to get her a helper or two to work on developing that. And then the activity packs, we supply those packs for the little ones coming in here, just in case they're not following the sermon exactly. They can be distracted with that. So we need someone to help develop that as well. Several people may want to be involved in that. Then the last thing that I want to talk about is the snow removal. The hospital does plow the lot, but we are responsible for the immediate area around the church. We have all the equipment to handle that. One big advantage to being on that team, starting tomorrow, you have 7 months off. So So anyway, thank you for being here. I just ask that you prayerfully consider serving in some of these areas, and we'll see you in the back. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. As you may have figured, without Greg, pretty much none of this gets done on Sunday morning, so extra thanks to Greg for doing that. So I am doing, let me pull up my other list here just a second. So basically I kind of oversee the tech-related things here, audio, visual, computers, networks, pretty much anything that has a button to turn it on is kind of one of my areas. So anyways, the biggest need that we really have right now is the guys in the sound booth. I have great teams right now. I have a husband and wife team. I have some brothers working. I have random guys working, including myself. But we really could use probably 3 to 5 more people. I would like to get to where we have a good rotation of roughly once a month with a couple of people that could just kind of jump in as needed. So that's kind of the big area there. The other one that I provide oversight to, but Colin actually does everything with it, is the music and the musicians, the scheduling of the musicians. And last time I talked to Colin, we can always use a couple piano players, a couple guitar players, and then even other instruments that we may not even use yet, just something that would fit in with what we're trying to accomplish of being very intentional, very worshipful as we go forward. So that's something there. A couple other areas I would like to, or one particular one I'd kind of like to kind of get going is just kind of like graphics, design. We launched a new website here a month ago or so. And just kind of have some people that, because I know there's people out there that love doing art-related things. Heidi has done a bunch of stuff for us. Travis has helped us out. Emily's helped us out. But I know there's people out here who enjoy doing those types of things. And so if you're interested in that, there's also going to be a sign-up for that. Just, I don't know exactly what that'll entail, but just if you really like doing art-related things, design-related things, there's a sign-up for that as well. And I got, oh, and then just technical support-related things. That's what I do for a living, so I kind of take care of a lot of that. But if that's something that interests you, I'm more than happy to use the help and focus my efforts in other areas as well. And I didn't read my notes, so I just got to run back to the top real quick. So the big thing with the sound and visual, I know it's, you know, the screen, it can be a little bit scary. The soundboard, if you walk up there, is very scary looking, but our goal is really, as Chris talked about earlier, is really just to aid in the hearing and proclamation of the gospel. That is the purpose for our sound team, our audio and visual guys upstairs. That's what we're doing. So we're not trying to do anything crazy. We're trying to just aid in the proclamation of the gospel, both visually and audio. So if you're interested in that, there's signups for that. All these things that we're all talking about, there's signups for all those things. Greg and I are sharing a room, the first classroom on the left, so stop there first before you stop and get everything else signed up. So, but yeah, so that's what we got. So I think Jacob's next. Here he comes.
Thanks, Nick. So one thing that Nick didn't mention was that my table is just before his door. So what you'll actually do is you'll come to my table, you'll sign up, and then you can go through. So I'm kind of the gate for that. So my area of oversight really has to do with the church's involvement in the community, in the country, in the state, and into the world. And so there's a couple areas right now that we're going to be focusing on that really is our involvement in the community. So you see there's Hope Pregnancy Ministries, there's the Off the Street or Benevolence, Feed the Flathead, Habitat for Humanity, and Childbridge. Really in those areas, all of them need a fair bit of development as well. So the organizers, or the organizers for those ministries largely will be looking to, looking to work with you in developing those areas of ministry. That's a big part of it. And then the serving part of that will be just would be coming alongside our small groups a lot of times to serve. So we have an example where there's someone who isn't part of the church but knows someone in the church that needs a yard work done or something. Maybe they're an elderly person. We would really like that small group to help out with that. But maybe the small group only has 5 people that can help and they really need 10 people. Then the list of the servers will come alongside that and we'd get an extra 5 people to really represent that well. So that's kind of a general overview of that. The Hope Pregnancy Ministries, what we're really looking for in that for the organizer is someone that can really strengthen the bond between Grace Church and Hope Ministries. Right now I feel like we're involved, we support them financially, but there's a lot of things that we could really do better with that. The baby bottle drives, diaper drives, things like that. I know Hope needs counselors and things like that, but right now we just don't have a good way to communicate to you guys how to, you know, what those needs are and how we can serve in that. So that will be the organizer, and then the servers, just whatever basically we come up with from an organizational standpoint on that. The benevolence, I've started working with this more this last year, and I found the more I've dug into it, the more opportunity to serve is. And one of the neatest things about this is, as I've talked with these people, I've gotten a great opportunity just to share Christ with them. You get to sit down one-on-one at a coffee shop or in a realtor's office and just spend 10, 20, half an hour sometimes sharing the gospel with them. And they're sitting there, they're listening to you. And that's not something that you normally just get. So that's a really neat opportunity there. From an organizational standpoint, it'll be, you know, how do we as a church respond to people who walk into our door and ask for help? Giving them money is rarely the right response, because giving them money allows them to go buy more beer, more energy drinks, more alcohol in general, or drugs. So how do we really help them? And we know that we can't ignore their physical need, but our desire is to go beyond the physical need to really be able to reach their spiritual need, and that's Christ. Habitat for Feeding the Flathead. Colin oversees that. Basically, we're looking for just a couple people that if he's short on volunteers, he can call them and they can come. Pretty simple on that one. Habitat for Humanity. Habitat, if you're not familiar with them, they build houses for people in need. So you don't have to have any experience building. They provide the experience. So you'll see there's work teams for doing construction work. If you want to learn how to build, it's a great opportunity because they have experience. If you're already experienced, it's a great opportunity for you to go and pair up with someone else in our community and teach them what you know about building as well. Food teams, prayer teams, those are just other ways that we can support Habitat. And then ChildBridge they work with foster care. They facilitate foster care, basically. So we're not asking for you guys to become foster care or foster parents. We're asking you guys for your help in supporting those that are foster care children. So there's a lot of areas for both developing this ministry as well as coming alongside and supporting. The support could look like providing meals, providing child care so the parents can go on a date or things like that. So that's basically my area of service. So I think it's Rick now.
Thanks, Jacob. This is Chris's biggest nightmare, Rick Moore with a microphone. All right, I kind of wrote, I carry a flip phone, so I had to write this out. So now listen, okay, I got your back. This is a common phrase in today's world. It implies I'm watching out for you regardless of the circumstances. The Bible, from cover to cover, you might say, is God saying, I got your back. And that may be, to borrow from the Old Testament, that may be manna from heaven or sandals that don't wear out for 40 years. Or it may be somebody bringing you a meal and someone else fixing your sandals. So think about that. A strange analogy, perhaps, but do you see my point? We are the hands and feet of Christ. We have to take care of each other. We are a community of Christ believers called to be like Christ. We are a kinship of believers. We need to show genuine care for each other in a fashion that will cause the world to marvel, that the world will look at us and say, see how they love each other. I want to be part of a community where people have my back, where the time of day a person cries out for help has no correlation to the response provided to answer the cry. What does that mean, Rick? It means if you're going down the Swan Highway and you hit an elk at 2 in the morning, someone is going to be there to come help you. Or if you are down at the county jail having been picked up for DUI and you make a phone call, someone's going to come and help you, and they're not going to judge you. I want to be part of a church where Jane Knickerbocker, 92 years old, someone comes and changes the light bulbs for her. Where Lori Owes has people tripping over each other trying to get the walls painted in the house she just bought. Where if something happens to Doug Anders, he knows that Nancy will be taken care of for the long haul. Now pay attention to this next part. Before we can reach this level of community, we need to get beyond superficial and into real. This is the function of the small groups. This is where care meets awareness. We can't help each other until we're aware we need help. Where people know the issues in each other's lives and can address them. This is where community flows naturally, where a person can drop their pride in a cry for help. Pride is something that can sometimes keep us from helping each other because we think we can do it ourselves, not unlike Clint Eastwood. My task is to raise the awareness of this community, both in the context of small groups and the greater context of the entire body, to perform greater service for each other. Within this room this morning are people who are hurting, who have financial crisis, who have health fears. The Bible implores us to take care of widows and orphans. We have women who are widows due to death or divorce, men and women who are orphans through loneliness and shame. We also have people who have compassion, mercy, exhortation, folks who can cook, perform vehicle and house repair. We have a plumber, cut firewood and move furniture. We want to get widows, orphans, new attendees, in essence, everyone connected. To not fear asking for help. All right, I'm going to wing it. To not fear asking for help, and we want a crowd of people to be there to offer help. Many of us here are refugees from places that perhaps lost sight of Christ. We have come to grace, become the ethos is such that every person is needed, that we can make a difference in each other's lives. As you leave the auditorium to look over ministry opportunities, remember, we have to get this part right, the part taking care of each other. We have to get this right. Otherwise, we are no different than the book club down the street that meets once a week to discuss a chapter in a novel. So, one final thought that occurred to me while Chris was preaching, and that was, I survived high school, and I remember the cliques. In fact, I was in several of them. And nothing irritates me more, and this gets back to what Chris was saying, than a church that has cliques and people are getting left out because they don't belong to the right clique. That's all I can say. Turn it over to Bruce.
This thing doesn't work.
Is this one working?
It works.
We're good? Nope?
Yeah, we're good.
It is good. Okay. The two areas of ministry that I've been tasked with overseeing and helping to facilitate are membership development and the building and grounds. The building and grounds is basically our church facility and the lawn and everything around it. So KRMC, the hospital, actually owns the grounds and the facility. There are landlords, and any major maintenance needs, they take care of. But all of the day-to-day stuff, the cleaning, taking care of light bulbs, that kind of thing, all that falls on us. And we are very fortunate in that Hoagie has volunteered to be the contact person and coordinator for that, which is a huge relief for me because that is not my thing. So he's your contact guy for that. But don't leave him hanging. He's going to need help. Okay, so our table, and Hoagie and I will be together right out here in the hallway, and I should mention that before you get to Jacob's table, you get to mine. So you'll see me first, and I'll be the first gate. So I've got dibs on that. Along with the building and grounds goes decor, and Lori Strawbeck takes care of that, and as you can see, she does a great job. But she needs help as well. Dennis and Kathy take care of the cleaning and janitorial stuff. Dave takes care of minor emergency plumbing. The major stuff like that, like I said, that belongs to the hospital. But what we need in this area from all of us is anybody that's got any kind of handyman skills or a creative mind that can help the people that are already in charge of those areas to get those things done, then we need you to come up, see Hoagie, and put your name on that sheet so that he'll know who he's got to contact, that Lori will know on a Saturday morning when she comes up. She needs help. If you can move something, you can help her. Okay? If you can climb a ladder, you can help her. It's not something that's going to take a lot of your time, and it doesn't happen every week, but when it happens, she could really use your help. So if you've got those kind of ideas or you've just got two hands and 2 feet, sign up and you can help us. Also, on this ministry fair sheet that we got, if you'll look on the back, there's a page that's stapled there. And on the top, it asks if you have any areas, any skills or abilities. And I would add to that equipment, like specialty equipment. Do you own a chainsaw? Do you own a skill saw that you can run without cutting fingers off? Things like that. Go ahead and put that on there. Drop that off to us so that we'll know. Hoagie's got some big deal and he needs a couple of guys that can do minor carpentry work. He's got a list of somebody that he can call and see if you're available. Okay, you're not signing your life away to sign up for that. You're just saying, I'm willing to help the church. The other area is membership development. This is still in its infancy. The goal here is really to develop an organized plan. The term organized keeps coming up today. An organized plan for dealing with new visitors and maintaining some intentional and strategic communication with them from that first visit all the way through until they're partnering with us in ministry and membership. So it's very broad, and like I said, it's very new. We've done a few things with this just a handful of times. It's been really, really cool to do, but it needs help. We need more people. We know that finding a church home can be difficult and oftentimes frustrating. What we want to do is to have a program in place that makes it clear who we are, what we believe a church ought to be, what we believe about community, what we think a church community is. And make that very clear from the very beginning and make that process of finding a church home less frustrating and less difficult and make it very clear this is who we are. And also make it very clear that if you think this is what a church in it is also, we want you here with us to help. Now, how to do that practically, we'll be working with Greg and his greeters to ID new visitors, and they're already doing a good job of that. So for those people that visit for the first time, they're local. They're not just visiting from out of state, relatives or something like that, but they're local. Then by Tuesday morning, when the staff gets back in full bloom, they would contact me and give me a list of who they've identified as a new local visitor. From there, I would notify Tina with the meals ministry that I've got a need there because my plan is to take them a pan of brownies or a plate of cookies or something like that. So Tina's going to be involved, so I'm recruiting for her as well. So I would notify her of the need, and then I would contact my volunteers, that's you guys, that are going to sign up to help me with this, and let you know that on Wednesday or Thursday of that week, Are you going to be available so I can come pick you up? We'll spend 5 minutes going and visit with somebody. We'll make it very clear this is going to be non-intrusive, very quick. Just give them a welcome packet. Tell them this is who we are. Do you have any questions? We're glad you came. We hope to see you again. That kind of thing. Very non-intrusive, very easy to do. And not if, but when you volunteer to do that with me, you would only be volunteering to go with me or one of the other leaders to do that. You would not be expected to handle the entire contact. It's just good to have more than one person go. It's also good for people to see that there's somebody other than somebody in the leadership of the church interested in the fact that I attended. Okay, so I think that's going to be a great thing for us. It can only do great things for us in helping the body grow and to showing, like Rick said, showing people that we do care. Organization demonstrates care. Lack of it can demonstrate the lack of care, even when it's not intended. So as people continue to attend, then we want to make sure that we've got a way of intentional, again, strategic communications to them about how to get involved. How do they get with Pastor Matt and get into and be an active part of a gospel community group, a small group? And then we plan on having regular, either quarterly or maybe every third part of the year, new member classes. And we'll announce those classes in advance. So I'm going to take this opportunity to announce in advance that we're going to have one of those probably in May, towards the end of May. So if you're interested in that, mark that on your calendars. There will be more coming on that. In that class, we'll explain who we are as a church, what our views are on community, what our theology is, and what we believe about partnering with us in ministry and what that means. We want to be very clear on that. We want to engage the church body and have a way of communicating with you about these prospective new members so you can be praying about them and for them. And then we'll also be doing annual membership audits. Who's here? Has anybody left? Is anybody falling through the cracks? Do we need to set up something else? Looking at critiques and ideas of the way we have done things and how we can improve. So what you need to do is right there on your sheet where it's got my stuff, start marking check boxes. And you can come see me at the first table along with Hoagie outside. And then come see me first and then go see Tina because we're going to need a lot of people helping with brownies and cookies. And like I said, this helping me on these visitations, easy and a great thing to do, and it means a lot. So I don't want 3 or 5 guys. I'm gonna be a lot more demanding than that. I want like 30 or 50. And I would like to have couples, and I'd like to have ladies for when we have those single ladies that come so that they're not intimidated when they got two guys show up at their door. Okay? Thanks.
Dennis and Kathy are not here this morning. They are serving their kids and grandkids. So I'm going to quickly go over Dennis's area. There are some areas on here as I look at this, and if you'll look at it with me, there's only a couple of areas that should be red. The reason there's a lot of red on this sheet is because we don't have enough people. I can't see that sound and video should be more than once every 5 or 6 weeks if we had enough people. Hope Ministries is probably not a monthly thing, but you probably get to correspondence that much. If you had several people, off the street benevolence isn't like a huge time consumer. The problem is we don't have enough people. So all of these areas that are red that are monthly shouldn't be monthly, except very few. Dennis's area continues along what we've seen some of the others. We have people, you know, people in Jacob's area. If you're wired for evangelism, you want to see Jacob. You want to find out how God can use you. If you're a developer, you need to see Jacob. Compassion. If you're a compassionate person with mercy, you need to see Rick. You need to see Jacob. If you're a handy person, you need to see Rick. You need to see Jacob. Or you need to see Bruce and you need to see Rick. I'm sorry. Go see Hoagie if you're handy with things. I mean, there's things for every person to do here. If you're a guy who can lift a box, all right, especially if you're a partner here, all right, I want to see every name. This is what I almost did, just to be a tyrannical kind of ruler type. I almost went through the partnership book and signed up every guy I thought could lift a box and put him under the moving team. And then every woman that I know can cook, I was going to put her under Tina's on the special meals that we take, because many hands make light work. Who doesn't want to be the recipient of, when you just had surgery and your church comes for a week and brings meals, who doesn't want to be there? Well, everyone appreciates it, and everyone needs to participate. So there's so many areas here that take so little time. Do not be intimidated by this. I mean, surely, if you're on the moving group, I mean, if you got 25 guys on the moving group, guess what? That doesn't happen even once a month. It doesn't even happen once a quarter, but when it happens, what a blessing to have a bunch of guys show up and say, I'm moving you. Okay? So take a look carefully at this list. If you can do anything in terms of skills, car repair, yard care, painting, whatever, you need to see Rick. You need to say, hey, I can help. Because that is an area to widows and orphans that is completely underdeveloped in this church. But we have a heart to do it. Just need guys. Need the people to do it. Okay, enough of that. All right, to Dennis. Tina has done an exceptional job of serving our church in the area of setting up potlucks and in the area of coordinating meals for people. And again, ladies, I need everybody's name on that. And I need everyone, guys, I need everybody's name under the moving. It is such an opportunity to show care. There's more desire. If you can come once a month and just help set up the fellowship hall between Sunday school and church, what a blessing that would be to her. So if you can do that, it's once a month. If there's more than three or four of you, it's once every other month. I mean, do you see how this works? Simple. All right. That shouldn't even be green. That should be like, it's not blue. It's not. Oh, yeah, it is green. It is green. It shouldn't be green. It should be less than once a month. It should hardly require any time, but it's very, very helpful. Special events, that is like when we have a blitz. Someone who's willing just to set up a table with some muffins on it and some drinks. That's all we're looking for. So if you're willing to do that, please go. I think I'm going to stand at that. Has Dennis made arrangements, or did he ask me to stand at that table? He probably asked me. Okay, I'll be there, unless I can get Phil to do it. Okay? All right, special events. Someone who would be just useful for blitzes and Easter Sunday and those kinds of things. Just someone who say, hey, I can do that. That's no problem. The church will provide the thing, the whatever we're putting out, and all we need you to do is pick it up and put it in there and make it happen. Coffee, the coffee ministry. What can Christians not do with the help of the Holy Spirit and coffee? That is a great way. Cherith is serving this church every Sunday morning by putting that, getting that out for us, and it's awesome to have. If you can do that, if you can put a jug underneath a pot and pour water in it with some coffee, golden. If you can do that, sign up. And then the moms group is looking for some help. Are they looking for people to come maybe to interact with the kids while you do the Bible study? Is that what we're looking for, ladies? Someone tell me. That is what we're looking for? All right. That was a deep voice. Okay. And we're also going to sign up for helping to facilitate baby showers and wedding showers. I have always been so incredibly proud of this church and the way you ladies show up for those special occasions. And I think we're looking here. Is Jessica here? Jessica, are we looking for people to help coordinate those? Or are we looking for both? All right, we're looking for both. We're looking for ladies who say, yeah, I want to be part of that, so that they could be available perhaps to help. But I know that's being overseen right now by you and a couple of the ladies. So if you're interested in participating in that ministry, just tell us you're on it, right? Okay? More? All right. They put me up here with no information. I'm just winging it. All right. What else we need? All right. Those are lots of opportunities. You can see if you're wired for compassion, there's areas here. If you're a builder, there's areas here. Not tons, but there's areas. Habitat for Humanity, that's just projects that are available for churches to do together. If we have people who say, yeah, I can head that up, that's no big deal. I can head that up on a Saturday. Other people who say, if they do head that up, I want to be part of that. I want to make meals. I want to do whatever. So, all right, lots of things. Lots of things. All of it together helps us make our reach for the glory of God into the community and together. So that's what we're doing. It's right outside. Take a left down that hallway. You hear we never had conflict in the leadership team until you see these guys where they're who gets the table that's first. My gosh, we had to go back to the conflict resolution book and everything. It was just like, my goodness. All right. There's a lot of needs. What I really want to see, not that you feel pity for Pastor Matt and I, but do you see how impossible that is for us to do that well if it's just him and I? And do you see how impossible it is if it's just the diaconal team? I mean, if it's just five guys doing that, do you see how impossible that is? It just limits our reach. It limits our ability to be a community if we don't have someone who says, I can own that. I can take that. I can run with that. And that's what we're looking for. All right, if the worship team would come back up, let's stand and let's close this morning with singing that church song, O Church Arise. Great call for us. And then go down that hallway. Doesn't take long. You can go down that hallway and let us know that you'll commit to be helpful in those areas. Father, thank you so much for this morning. God bless this church as we care for each other. Father, put it on our hearts right now, these areas that we know you have wired us for, areas that we know we can be a real asset to, so many areas that are undeveloped that just simply need some creativity and some ownership, other areas that are developed and we just simply need some people that are wired to be caring and careful with the other people. Father, we love what you're doing among us, and we pray, Father, that you would just continue to lead us in our building of a gospel culture, a discipling culture, a culture in this church that simply stands amazed at your work of grace and wants to be part of it for the glory of God. In his name, amen.